I started to feel warm, and I thought, how many collective hot flashes are happening right here in this stadium? How many people at
Uh-uh,
this
that's not what
moment?
it was. He got your nature stirred up.
Oh.
He got your nature stirred up and you got hot and bothered.
Oh, Lord. Listen, I wish that's what happened. I would
Listen.
take that. That is not what was happening.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Everybody, welcome to episode 107.
We're coming in hot, literally.
We're coming
literally.
In hot.
I just burnt my mouth. I did. Oh my gosh. My coffee was hot.
Well, I think before we get started, and heavy on our hearts is all the flooding that is going on. And if you've listened to us at all, most of the time you will know that Holly and I frequent Western North Carolina. Often, and is one of our favorite annual trips that we go to. And the devastation there, I guess I've been obsessed with watching the videos. And
same.
And yep. You know, one of the things that really hit me was Chimney Rock.
Yeah.
The whole town. Holly and I were just in downtown Chimney Rock.
Yeah, we just drove through that a couple months ago, and
this summer,
little town, and it was just a cute, you know, right on a river, and it is
little
gone.
A little river. I mean, it's not, we're not talking Tennessee or
no,
Mississippi River. It
no,
is
like a mountain, kind of just
like
a
a
mountain
mountain.
river.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chimney Rock is gone. I mean, there's
The
nothing,
town, the town. Yeah.
The town. Yeah. Not the monument.
At first I thought it was that when someone said it, and I was like, are
no,
you
it's
even
way
kidding
too
me?
high. It's too
Yeah.
high. But
So.
the town of Chimney Rock itself is, I mean, nothing is left. There's not a building. There's not a brick. There's just
It's
nothing
such
there.
a heartbreaking
It
shame.
is. Yeah.
I feel so for those people.
So,
I'm the same as you. I hardly have words.
yeah. So this, and y'all, if your town, your community has been through any kind of tragedy, trauma, anything like this, Savannah has been through, you know, we've had an F5 tornado that tore apart, you know, a lot of our county, and we've had major flooding that, you know, shut down schools for about 2 weeks. And I mean, floods don't go down as quickly as you think. Maybe they would, but
no, but they take a while.
It does.
And then the cleanup
is horrific, you know, and to not have water, to not have electricity. And I know, and mine is nowhere near on a grand of scale as this, but it's a very, well, traumatizing. I mean, that's
it
your
is.
only
It's
your
a
only
collective
word.
Trauma.
And
Absolutely.
to watch it, to watch your neighbors go through these things, to even some survivor's guilt, you know, when people have lost everything and down the street from you and you're still sitting in the king's seat there, you know, it's a little, the whole thing is very surreal, and you don't know, it takes a lot to process.
Yeah. And you know, it's, as you say, all of it is super, super tragic and hard to watch. But, you know, you look at like Asheville, you know, a pretty, not a big city, but a big city, you know, a city,
right.
As cities, you know, go, and a place we've been again, many, many, many times, and just seeing the footage of the outside of the Biltmore Village, it's not in the Biltmore, but it's right outside. It's kind of this area, you know, and it's completely underwater. And then the highway, you know, 40 that how you get into Asheville from what, you know, from the west is out, like
so
parts of it are gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't know how you fit
it's
like,
in the gorge.
I don't
That's
know how
gonna
you
take
fix that.
Forever. Of course, you being married to an engineer, you know this too. And hearing Caleb talk about processes that they have to go through. I mean, they're going to have to come in. One, they've got to evaluate the whole thing.
Well, it's going to be a while. Like you said, all the water has just to go. And then,
well, I mean, once they get started, they're going to have to bring in mounds and mounds of dirt.
Yep.
That all has to be packed down and then it has to settle.
Yep. You can't build
and
on that.
That takes months.
They made, I mean, what do I know? I'm not an engineer, but I'm married. They may end up cutting a little bit of a new, like cutting new into the mountain more. Like, cause that'll be,
we may have a new tunnel to go through.
You know what I mean? Like cut into the
right. Yeah.
Even cut off the sides of the mountain might be easier because to fill that, I mean, I just have no idea how they would,
I mean, it would
that
take,
the time
or they may bridge it, you know, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, maybe some new work for our lovely bridge engineers, but you know, and to look at Asheville and be like, again, the scary thing, you know, it is cut off. Like they are cut off. They do not have ways in. They do not have ways out. Yeah. And again, we hate to be, you know, and I need to get on it better, but there is not enough food. I mean, you guys are going to be fine. I apologize.
They
I
are.
Don't need to scare anyone, but because help is coming, I watched a whole thing, you know, from I think he was a representative. Help is coming. They've got Skylink set up. They've got so many search and rescue people there. So many linemen are coming in. So massive help. The airport's open. The airport's open for flights to come in, not commercial, but for water and food and all the things. So you're going to be good.
And here is what you may not know. They, because, you know, John Garrett is still in touch with camp.
Yeah.
He was a counselor and right there, you know, outside of Black Mountain. And there's a lot of damage to camp, but it can be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
But they are using the lower green, the field down there, for the helicopters have been
landing. I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking people out to safety and bringing food and water, water mm-hmm. in. And a lot of these places, they're having to hike stuff to them. Because, you know, the house,
The roads are gone. Like you can't just drive stuff in anymore.
And I looked the house that we stayed in this summer.
I wonder, Joni.
I don't know if it's there or not.
It can't be there.
Well, it's at the, you know, it's way up from the bottom of the waterfall, but all that water.
No, it's the water coming. It's
erosion.
It's
the water coming in. Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. And I mean, that creek. Yeah, and you're right. Maybe because it was so low, you know, the gorge of the creek was so low. It's not going to rise up high enough.
It's the top, but it's the top of it.
Well, you know, that tree is gone. You know, that tree over that hot tub shed that was already hanging on by a root.
Yeah.
I hope not. But anyway, all of that.
But here's my point is that those roads, I looked, the roads going to it are gone. I mean, they're gone.
And that's what I'm saying with the erosion coming down is.
But they're at Chimney Rock because one of our exits was there at Chimney Rock.
Not anymore.
That road is gone. And then the road from Black Mountain is okay until you get on, you know, what I called I didn't call it the dragon tail because that's the big
because
one.
That's
we call
a real
it
one.
The snake's tail
the
or
snake's
something.
Snake's tail or something. Yeah.
But it was still a curvy road. And that big hairpin, remember that big hairpin? Mm-hmm. That's gone.
Oh,
that's gone.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a very, even here, I mean, we're not anywhere near it right now. I am nice and warm in my, you know, electrical home right now and electronical home. It's your favorite.
It is my favorite when you say that you are 87 and a half years old. Okay.
Here I am, but even just looking and going, we're on that road all the time.
All the time. That's very familiar.
Black. We're shopping here. We're doing this. We're doing that.
And it's heartbreaking. And it's even more so for the people obviously that live there and own the places. But I saw even 40 right by camp was closed. So I don't know what that meant. If they closed it just to stop traffic from going in.
No, are you just like north
right
of
at the exit
at Old Fort? Oh, is it at the exit?
At the looked in the map yesterday and like every, you know, all of Asheville was like, you know, all the roads were closed. But then I said, Tim, go scooch out to Black Mountain. And that little section of 40, pretty much right at Yates, right at the exit, was red with a big circle and a red. So. Yeah. I don't know if that was because of damage or if that was because they're just kind of shut it down to be like, don't go,
Yeah.
That way,
or that could be the helicopter. If the helicopter's landing there too, that could be.
They may just have kind of stopped traffic, but either way, yeah. It's just, and the little towns of Boone and I hear Valdosta is very, very bad. I mean, Georgia's got hit bad. So
East Tennessee is bad. I mean, it's
catastrophic. Yeah.
So one of the things that I want to talk about, Holly, since all this is going on, because this isn't supposed to happen in the mountains.
No.
You know, this is not a normal thing. And mm-hmm. So I talk about, you know, when the firemen come and we do it from when the New Madrid fault, we talk about emergency preparedness when, you know, mainly our danger and your danger too, is the New Madrid fault blowing.
Well, and apparently hurricane flooding.
And hurricane
apparently
through.
Flooding.
I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I live right here on the mm-hmm. Tennessee River and that is a real situation for us. You're right there on the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. It's a real situation, flooding, but you know, I don't want to say we expect it, but you know, I mean, we know it's there. Mm-hmm. You don't expect to be living in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and a hurricane come take you out,
out, landslide you out. No, yes. Absolutely not. Yeah. Chimney Rock, that little town, there's no possible way, even on being on that little, and those houses, you know, it was very level down there. I mean, it was,
but even I would expect, they expect some flooding from time to time, sure. But not to that level and that,
no,
you know, they were far enough back across from the river that even if it rose, it would have to be a major flood. And here it is, a major flood. But anyway, we talked to my class about survival stuff and emergency preparedness just for these things. And mm-hmm. and they can come without warning. And so I printed off something from the American Red Cross. But one thing that I would say that's not on here is I would always keep half a tank of gas in your car. The more I see, the more I'm like, when you get to half a tank, consider that empty. Yeah. Just because you don't know what may happen from one minute to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so water is your big thing. And I think we've talked about this some, but this just feels like a good time to mm-hmm. do that. If you're mm-hmm. on board with this, are you on board
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think it's always, every time this happens, it's a vivid reminder that this can happen. And, you know, it's scary and we don't like to think about it, but the people that it's happened to didn't want to think about it either. And hopefully they have some resources. So you'll feel better if you have some resources.
Right. So your number one thing you're going to need is water, and you need 1 gallon per person per day for 3 day supply. That is actually for evacuation.
Yeah.
For your home, you need a 2 week supply.
Yeah. I was going to say that's very little if you are really having an issue.
Yes. Right. So for 2 weeks at home is what they're saying, count on. And it's 1 gallon per person. Now this is going to be, I'll go ahead and say this, but this is going to be on my top three. And it's probably been there before, but I'm going to do it again.
That's all right. You can repeat.
thank you. I bought after I listened to the firemen talk about some close calls that we've had that I didn't know we had. I would keep gallons of water. I would keep bottles of water. I started doing all this, but it's just a big clutter, you know, all over everywhere. So, I went on Amazon and I found a 55 gallon water drum, and I keep it out in my garage, and we just empty it into the pool when we need to and mm-hmm. refill it and all of that. The peace of mind of it is mm-hmm. worth every penny.
Yeah. And then you're not having a bunch of little, you have to be really careful about your containers, because it's not just go fill a bunch of cleaned out orange juice bottles. I mean, like it's better than nothing. If you know, something's coming and you've got stuff, you know, fill them up. But in terms of like the hassle and the storage and the deterioration of it and all that, you know,
life straws too.
Straws are great. Yeah.
Yeah. Run by, you know, at Dick's Sporting Goods or mm-hmm. Amazon or mm-hmm. REI, I'm sure any of those camping places, mm-hmm. they've got life straws that filter out all the...
Which means basically you can drink right out of like a creek
or a river.
Yeah. Like you can get that water. Now, you know, if you can boil it and if you can do all the things, you know, always better. But they're little straws that you can actually, you know, if you are on the go or you need something, you know, in your yard, you gather some water and you can, you can more safely drink it. So, yeah, that's okay. And they're little.
Yeah, they are little. They can easily go in a backpack or whatever. Okay. Food, non-perishable, easy to prepare items. They broke this down into 15, like, do this first, get this first, and then get a secondary list. However, they do not put a manual can opener. That's on their secondary list. I would put that on your first list. I would put that with your food.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of cans now, if they have the tops that just come off, I mean, a lot of them have the pop tops. So just make sure if you don't have that in your first list, make sure everything is.
Right.
I guess, though, let me tell you what, though. Tim Burrell's getting that can if he don't got no can opener. Just don't even worry about that. That can is going to be opened. Okay. Might splatter a little bit. Okay. We're getting in it.
I still would get a.
Yes, that's a good idea.
A manual can opener. Mm-hmm. A flashlight, battery powered or hand cranked radio, weather radio if possible. They also have solar radios that would help with that. Mm-hmm. Extra batteries, first aid kit, medicines, a 7-day supply, and medical items, multi-purpose tool, sanitation, and personal hygiene items.
Don't forget that one. That one's a lot of people forget is your sanitation needs for if you don't have water or electricity.
Yeah. Get, you know, especially get, you know, Clorox wipes.
Yep.
Things like that.
Yep. Because you don't want to have to use water for every sanitation. You need some body, not Clorox for your body, but
You can get baby wipes and Clorox wipes. I would do both of those.
Keep things healthy.
Toilet paper, you know, copies of personal documents, medication list, pertinent medical information, proof of address, deed, lease to home, passports, birth certificate, and insurance policies. You know, I just would get it a little safe. You need a little safe to keep all your stuff in like that. Mm-hmm. Cell phone and chargers. That's not going to do them any good in North Carolina now.
No, it's not. But again, they do make, even for like your radios and other things, they make little solar things that you can plug in and charge things on a little tiny solar panel.
Yeah. And as long as that cell phone tower's there, you can.
Yeah. And as soon as it gets up and going, like you'll want to have it, you know, like I said, they got some stuff set up there. It's a good thing to have.
Family emergency contact information, extra cash, emergency blanket, and maps of the area. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Baby supplies. I thought about those people. Those poor people just trapped on the interstate or whatever trapped in their cars with.
Thank God it's not 100 degrees. That's all I can say right now. It's not below zero.
Yeah.
It's not 100 degrees, but I know that's not any consolation, but you know, that's all I have.
I got stopped on the interstate when I lived in Memphis. There was a wreck and I sat on the interstate for 3 hours and it was an inconvenience. You know, I couldn't even get to an exit to get off. But I thought about it later after I had babies. And I thought, what would I have done if I'd had a screaming baby in there and just sitting there with no formula? Because if you just get up and think, oh, I got to run the grocery, you're in between feedings. Let's just run to the grocery real quick. I don't know. Anyway.
Yep.
Games and activities for children. That's something you don't think about. But, you know, this is a scary time. They're going to know that you are scared, that you are, you know. And I did see a video of a grandmother, and she had her 4-year-old and her 6-year-old grandchildren, I think, in the car, and the flood just got them real quick, you know, and people came to rescue them. Somebody's videoing it, and you know, they're trying to rescue them. So she's sitting, and they said she was sitting on the armrest. And she had both of them keeping their heads above water.
She's like,
it's just a game. We're just playing a game. This is a flood adventure and somebody's going to come rescue us. And, you know, just to keep the trauma.
The mental fortitude that takes to do those things when you have children and people like that. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah,
it is. Pet supplies, 2-way radios, extra set of car keys and house keys. And this is where they put the manual can opener there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Whistle, surgical mask, matches, rain gear, towels, work gloves, tool supplies for your securing your home, extra clothing, hat and sturdy shoes, plastic sheeting, duct tape. That's just so you can shelter in, for, you know, if you need to shelter.
Like plastic sheeting and duct tape.
If you need,
It's good. There's supplies for lots of things. You can use them for a lot of things. So zip ties,
Zip ties, scissors, bleach, and blankets and sleeping bags. I mean, anything. Look, here's the good news, though. I think for that part of the country is there's a lot of people who know how to camp.
Yes.
And have camping supplies.
Yes.
You know, and you know, God
hopefully
bless
you have
them.
Their little camp stoves and their little things. And right. it's just they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, I did see that. I noticed online that Kelly's Catch, their Ron's company, is doing a donation of profits.
Where
are they donating? I can't remember.
Well, they are actually, and I don't know exactly all the places, but one of them is to Ridgecrest.
Okay. And connected in with that. Okay.
Connected in with that. And I'll post a link, y'all, on our website. So Ridgecrest, Camp Ridgecrest is there. And they're on the ground. They have their feet on the ground. They're there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are taking donations and for hurricane relief. You can go under the site. It's got a like Ridgecrest, because you can give for multiple things, for like camp scholarships or whatever, but you just hit the menu and go down and click hurricane relief.
Okay. They've got that on there.
Right. And that is to provide, you know, food and water when they can, for tree removal, for mud removal, for, you know, all these places that, you know, their community is, that's going to be a lot. That mud removal is going to be.
And everything's ruined. You can't save. Like stuff is just with the stuff in the water. You just, most stuff cannot be just dried out. Like it just doesn't. Another group that I came across that I went ahead and donated to was Convoy of Hope. They've been around for a long time. And that's just another good place that if you want to, you know, they're doing the same thing. They bring in the food and the water and they do all that. And it's a very good, reputable place. So don't, you know, encourage you. We don't encourage you to do stuff that we don't do.
Right. So, there is another place that I donate to often, and there are eight days of hope. And what they do, and I don't know exactly what their plans are for this situation, but I will tell you 100% they'll get involved. But they take a team of volunteers and they go and they will clean out, or they will rebuild, or they do, you know, whatever free of charge to people. So I imagine they will have a massive, massive projects going on in this area.
Yeah.
But that's one that I trust, you know, a lot of places.
Yeah. It's good to have a recommendation, but to know where good organizations are, where your money is going to.
One tip that I heard too, we have our Ayers Foundation it's a group within the schools in Tennessee.
Okay.
And they help them, you know, get scholarships and apply to colleges and all these things. So they were talking to, there are two counties in East Tennessee that were really hit, you know, horribly.
Yes. Yep.
And, you know, they reached out to their counterparts and they said, here's what we need. And they sent, you know, it's toilet paper, paper towels. And, you know, they went through the whole list, tote bags for people who don't have, they don't have
something to carry
everything.
Your stuff in. Yeah. You don't have anything to carry anything in. Yeah.
But one of the things that they said under laundry detergent is the, like the Tide pods, that the pods are best because they can separate those into like Ziploc bags and
divvy it up a little better.
Well, it's not just that, but they're easier to carry when they have to hike the supply.
Sure.
The roads are gone.
Yeah.
So they're having to hike supplies to people. So
I don't know what they need a Tide Pod for, because they have a wash machine.
They'll get electricity back.
Yeah, the last thing I'm worried about is a Tide Pod at this moment. No, but anyway.
No, they'll get electricity back.
They will.
Before they will have roads back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's just.
Oh, yeah. Those linemen are going to get out there and bust it up.
You've
they're going to take
linemen,
care of it.
You know, your linemen are the heroes. They're coming from all parts of the country.
Yep.
they'll have water back before they will have.
The water may take a little bit, to be honest, but yeah. Hopefully so.
But because the water has to recess for them to get in and work on pipes.
And a lot of the water treatment, some of the water treatment facilities are so damaged, they have to be completely rebuilt is what the one senator or representative was saying. Like, you know, some of these things are going to have to be rebuilt. So, you know, but they'll get it there. Yeah. They'll get they'll get temporary stuff and they'll figure it out. But, yeah, just everyone just, you know, encouraged to donate even a little bit. Again, and you know, you hear this all the time, but it's true. The littlest amount, if you can do $5, that's, imagine if 100,000 people donated $5. Right. Like that is, we together are way mightier than we are alone. We can't, one of us can't fix any of this, but together. And I was thinking about it today. I'm like, I was trying to imagine if this did happen in my area or to me personally, or certainly to anyone I really, really knew personally, the feeling that would give me, that people across the country were taking 30 seconds, even the smallest thing, to go donate, even their $5 or a little class of kids getting money together or what, would be so meaningful. Yeah. And your $5 is very, very, very effective and helpful and very meaningful. So if you knew that, if you had it happen to you and you knew all over this country, people were doing that, it would be very heartening. And that's what they need too. So we're praying. We're definitely praying. Yeah. So we're sorry. Yeah. But anyway, on another sad note, since we're just.
Okay,
let's just get it all out of our system. Yeah. Maggie Smith died. Dame Maggie Smith. Guys, I'm not okay.
Yeah, so she is very well known for the Harry Potter.
Yeah, and Downton Abbey. Like Downton Abbey. Like
she also was Wendy on Hook.
Was she really?
Yes.
Oh yeah, she was. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Like obviously she's had a very long and storied career. But that I think was one of the things that's unique about her and some other actors and actresses is because her appeal is, even though she's had many, many roles for many years, she has a broad spectrum of ages and generations of, quote, fans that know her work because she's worked a long time and done wonderfully. And then, like you said, with Harry Potter and Downton Abbey, like those are just reached a whole new kind of generation of people. So that was sad. But you know, it is what it is. In other news, moving on to happy things, Tim and I didn't get home till 12:30 last night, Joni.
Look at you acting like a teenager.
Listen, you know where we were?
Where were you?
We were at the Billy Joel concert in Busch Stadium.
Oh, how jealous am I?
Listen. Okay. I have lots to say.
Okay.
Just not a whole lot because I won't bore you with, like, I'm not going to tell you every, you know. And then he sang that because I don't even know. But first of all, we were blessed because a wonderful coworker of Tim's gave us these tickets. Mm-hmm. We're not concert. This was my first stadium concert.
Oh, really?
I'm 53 years old.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am young again. And I bought a t-shirt. Bought the t-shirt. Yep, sure did. Bought me a concert t-shirt. Had some, you know, paid $50 to park, bought $50 t-shirt, drank who knows how much money worth of whatevers, and I didn't have to buy a ticket. So all that is to say, it was a big blessing. And it was supposed to be Friday night, and then rained out on that. So they just moved it to last night. And also, let me just say, you know who opened for him?
Who?
Sting.
Really?
Sting.
Look at you.
I got Sting and Billy Joel in one night. That sounded bad, but it's not bad.
Oh, it's fine. Jealous. I'm officially jealous.
Listen, you would have, and I've never, it's so funny because Tim and I were talking about it and we were blessed to get the tickets. We're like, yeah, we'll go, you know? I'm not a big Billy Joel fan. Like, I don't know how to say it because he's not been like one of my favorites that I, you yes. know, love, love, love. But he's been around for my whole, you know.
He's legend.
He's legend. And so to me, regardless of if someone's your favorite or not, if I get an opportunity to go see, you know, someone of that legendary, and I do like, really like a lot of his songs. So does that make sense? Like, I'm not a yes. Billy Joel, like, I'm not throwing my panties up there or anything like that, but, but I mean, you don't know.
I mean,
you don't know, but I love so many of his songs and know them and, you know, like totally. So we knew once we got there, we were like, you know, we are really gonna, as we started thinking about songs and thinking about, we were like, you know, this is going to be a really good show. And it was a really good show. And the dude is 75 years old, Joni. He's 75. Sting is 72. And let me tell you what, he still looks good in jeans and a white t-shirt. Sting, he still does.
He's got it.
He still got it going on.
Did you yell, you still got it? Did he yell, shake no, it right I, to you?
No. There was no.
I have that with James Taylor.
That was you. You always have your moment with James. With sweet baby James. I did not. I was way up in the nosebleeds. It was spectacular. View of the arch. View of the, you know, like what's even happening? Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just, it was such an enjoyable evening. We were just, you know. So I did, you know, to show the kind of the demographic, you know, and it was interesting because we're like, we're going to be here with a bunch of old people. And then we looked at each other and we're like, well, yeah, that's, but he has, again, we were surprised at how many younger people were there right. and people brought their kids, which that felt a little, it was great. It was totally fine to bring your kids, but there was some younger kid, like not little kids, but you know, people bringing their kids. Older people, this one dude was walking up the steps by us and he had his cane. And I get so worried, you know, it's dark and there's these steps and the lights are flashing. You're trying not to have an epileptic fit. And he's walking up with his cane and he has this, like, he has his full blown, like, mechanic, like, coveralls on, this old dude. And this other lady was walking down the stairs during one of the songs. And it was, a you know, one of the real upbeat ones. And she was just shaking her hands. And I was like, yes. Oh my Lord.
Getting it.
It was a people watching heaven. It was great. Sure. So it was a pretty, you know, but definitely, you know, on the older side, because again, you know, he's getting into his set, Billy Joel. And he's like, you know, somebody's like, well, this song came out in, you know, 1973, 74. And I'm like, I know that, but like, I've just heard them so much over and over that I forget that, like, I was two, like, this is not my like, there's a whole generation above me that are like
right
and even more so yeah. And then I'm like, he's up here performing, you know, late into the night in St. Louis, Missouri at Busch Stadium, and he's 75 years old. So that was pretty cool. I did wonder partway through Sting. So all that is to say, with the demographic kind of being what it is, partway through Sting's probably halfway through his set, it was, you know, not as long as Billy's set, but I started to feel warm, and I thought, how many collective hot flashes are happening right here in this stadium? How many people?
That's not what it was. He got your nature stirred up.
Oh,
he got your nature stirred up, and you got hot and bothered.
Oh Lord! Listen, I wish that's what happened. Would take that. That is not what was happening. Okay. Sorry to say.
Well, listen. So I never liked, you know, much of the 80s music. I mean, some I did, but I wasn't into all the electrical, you know, whatever. But Billy Joel. I have been a Billy Joel fan.
Have you?
Oh, my entire life. And so in 1987, he came to Memphis. He came to Memphis. I was a senior in high school, and I went to Billy Joel with one of my very best friends.
Oh.
And look, the entire experience was outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just was, you know, it's one of those things that's every bit of it is burned in your memory.
Yes. Yes. Just,
oh, he's so great.
He's so, yeah, he's such a good, because like, again, it made for such a good dynamic of a show, because just the talent and the musicianship of all, like there's the saxophone player who's killing it. There's the, you know, the horn, you know, the backup singers. And then, you know, he, as of course, being such a talented piano, he played guitar a little bit too, but you know, he's known for his piano. So you've got that whole, like, just jazz club vibe with a spotlight on him. And then you've got like a big, huge, crazy rock and roll thing. Yes. And then it comes back down to him on the piano. Yeah. And you're like,
listen, I still melt when I hear a piano, man. I mean, you talk about getting your nature stirred up.
Oh, Lord, your nature stirred up.
Piano gets my nature's piano, man.
Well, that was the last, the last song that he did before the encore. And it's, you know, I actually videoed that because I was waiting. I'm like, when's he going to do it? And you could see him put on his little harmonica and you're like,
here it comes.
And he started to, you know, and then that's the one everyone lit their phones and the whole stadium was lit up and it was iconic. And let me tell you, well, a couple things. First of all, one of my favorite songs of his is, and kind of always has been, but I didn't really, anyway, it's not a real popular, but it's the New York State of Mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just a good nostalgic, it's just a good song. So he's playing that. Of course, I might have teared up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Because my boy, So that was amazing. And then it was fantastic when he did Only the Good Die Young. And, you know, it's not a nice, it's not a nice song. It's not a, you know, it is what it is. If you know the song, of course, which all of you do.
Virginia, don't make me
wait. Catholic girl,
stop much too late.
It's not appropriate. But let me tell you what, Joni, of course, the entire stadium is belting this song.
Yes.
Because they're very singable songs. Yeah. That's what's fun with his songs, too. And, and as the night went on, they were more and more of the ones that people knew and would sing. But the entire stadium, a Busch Stadium, is singing Come Out, you know, this whole song, and Only the Good Die Young. And it was hilarious. And at the end, it was just fun. And then at the end, Billy goes, wow, he's like, that was great. And, you know, and he said, especially here, because St. Louis is a very Catholic very Catholic town. Like, we have a lot of Catholic people. So he was like, wow, that was really good. So that was, of course, amazing. Piano Man, everyone's singing and all that stuff. And then he finished with Piano Man. And of course, we all clap, clap, clap. And he comes out to do an encore. And, you know, his encore is like another five songs. Like, if you left,
Did he do Tell Her About It?
I don't know. He didn't in the encore. And I don't think he did in the main thing. That's the thing.
One of my favorites,
there are so many songs.
There's so many.
Everyone that would come up, I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like one of the ones that he didn't do that I do wish he would have did is She's Always a Woman to Me.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah. Or is that him?
Yeah.
Or am I thinking of?
No, that's right. No. That's him.
What? There's another one that I'm thinking of.
There's Uptown Girl.
Okay. So in the encore, he hadn't done Uptown Girl yet. So I'm like, I know this is coming, but they started the encore. They came back on the stage and blasted out We Didn't Start the Fire with the whole slideshow. And the place went insane. Yeah. Like people are singing the whole thing. This dad and his son, kind of teenage son in front of us to the right, were cracking me up because every time the chorus came over, you know, We Didn't Start the Fire, they just started flopping their heads They were flopping and it was so funny. I wish I had taken a video, like in sync. It was hilarious. So We Didn't Start the Fire. It was a total banger. He did a few others, but then he got to Uptown Girl and the whole place lost its mind and the whole place is singing. You've got, you know, 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. It was probably less than that, maybe 30,000 singing. It was a blast.
Yeah.
It was a total
blast. Listen, it was an experience. I'm so glad. I am so glad, so thankful that, you know, to have seen him in concert when I did. And at the time that I did. And you know, and
that was the height of his powers, man.
It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal night. And I mean, like I said, it's just one thing that it's just burned in your memory that you don't ever forget. But yeah, he's incredible. And he has always been one of my favorites. And that also goes back to, you know, I mean, I had older sisters. Streety was.
Oh, true. Yeah.
You know, so all the '70s, that was always playing in my home. Streety was what, 7 years older than me. So, so that's what, yeah, we're listening to, still rock and roll to me. And
yeah, he did that one. He did. Yeah. My gosh. I mean, I can't even think of all the names of all the stuff he did. Yeah. There's still the song. That's not the one. I'm missing the song that I was, it's one of his slow songs. And now I'm kind of confused.
I don't know, but he,
anyone cares.
He is. I don't know that there's a really a big, I don't know. I want to say a bigger musical legend, but there are several, but
yeah,
you know, just, yeah. He's just absolutely outstanding.
Tell Her About It, Innocent Man, Pressure. He did that. Yeah.
That's not one of my favorite ones.
No, that one was at the beginning, and the guy next to me was real excited about it. And I was like, she's always a woman to me. Is that? But I thought there was another one. Oh, here's the one. There it is. I love that. But she's got a way about her.
Yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na. Oh, he didn't do that one, but I love it. Anyway.
Oh, he didn't do that one? No, oh, I love that one too. Okay. No.
But there's too many.
I'm going to have a Billy Joel night tonight.
I know. This is what Tim was literally like, guess what I'm listening to the rest of the week. I'm like, I know. So anyway, that was big fun. That was our big, exciting, a fun thing we did this weekend. So football. What do you have to say?
Football. Okay. So I did watch the Alabama-Georgia game.
Man.
Did you see that one? Holy cow.
That was a banger.
Holy cow. I mean, I was like, I about turned it off because I was like, okay, don't ever
yeah. turn it off when, especially when Georgia is involved. You don't know.
Yep.
They almost got there.
I will say this. I've watched Mississippi State. Of course, everybody, Mississippi State struggling, but
they did okay.
I will tell you, they played much better. They appeared to be a little more disciplined than what I have said in the past few weeks. So I was impressed. And Kentucky beating Ole Miss.
Listen, that's the game we watched. I didn't watch
that one.
I didn't watch the whole Mississippi State, Texas. Yeah. I popped back in and forth. And I too was impressed with, I'm like, look, they're scoring.
Yes.
It wasn't a total blowout. I mean, of course, Texas won, but it wasn't. I agree with you. When I saw, I was
look,
like, ooh,
as
okay.
long as with Mississippi State, as long as we're progressing, I mean, we are in this rebuilding. We've had a lot of trauma, a lot of drama,
a lot of drama,
you know, it's been, and we are in a rebuilding season. We all knew that. We knew it was not going to be a winning season by any means. I think maybe we hoped for a little better, but it was not, but I'm now seeing progress.
Yes.
And that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
And
but you're right. Kentucky beating Ole Miss at Ole Miss. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. Yes. I'm sorry, all of you.
Sorry.
So evil. Anyway, no, it was what it was, you know.
Mama Blunt would have been thrilled. Mama Blunt was a big Kentucky fan.
Okay.
So
all right.
She would have been thrilled.
Okay. That's
but
good.
Yeah, that was a
they hadn't beat them at
something.
It was like a kind of a record that was kind of the biggest, I guess, upset of the of the night. But you're right. Then, of course, the big game was Georgia Alabama at Tuscaloosa, and it was a fun game. You know, Alabama started off crazy, 30 points in the first quarter. But what about that little fella, Joni?
I know.
What about that little guy, y'all? There is this little tiny, well, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
He's probably not.
No, but it doesn't matter. I'm really meaning little also by age. He is 17 years old, y'all. He is 17. He's been driving maybe for a year legally.
Right.
And he is out there starting for Alabama as a receiver, wide receiver. And that boy had some plays.
Playing some football.
He played him some football.
Yeah, he did.
He that one toss where it bounced off his hands when he was catching it and he went in the air and he caught it anyway.
Caught it, yeah.
And then he made this massive touchdown. Like, and he, I couldn't get my brain around it. Williams is his last name. I can't remember his first name. But number two, Williams. But he is 17, y'all. And they were telling the story. I don't know if you heard the little story. They were talking about it at the announcers were sharing about it, maybe at halftime or something. I don't know. But they were saying that when he came on to the team, you know, he wasn't guaranteed a spot. It wasn't like he was one of those recruits that he was guaranteed. They said, you're going to have to work for it. So he was placed on the third team, but then slowly started to kind of make his way up. And then at one point, Jalen Milrow, the quarterback, went to the coaches and were like, he needs to be in first team. He needs to move up to first team. This kid, yes. And moved him up, and there he was. And talk about some good quarterback play from Mr. Milrow of Alabama. He looked real good. He looked real confident.
And did he get your nature stirred up?
With the nature. He's a child. What is wrong with you? Y'all, you're in a... Ugh. Okay. Anyway, as I was saying, he did a very fine job. Are you done?
I'm done.
I doubt it. I bet you then if you Probably the not. Nature there stirred will, up will, is going to come up again.
Yeah. Listen, once it's out there.
It's out. Well, yeah. You've let it loose. The Kraken. You've loosed the Kraken. Uh-huh. I do have an award to give out.
Okay.
It is not a spicy uniform. I have a new award. It is the Golden Mullet Award. And the Golden Mullet Award goes to Tate Ratledge of Georgia. He's a big old boy. In fact, he got injured, which is, anyway, I don't think that's because I gave him the award. And that boy has a mullet going on. It is a true...
Glorious. It was glorious.
Yes. Golden Mullet Award-winning mullet. So I just wanted to shout that out. I just wanted to give him credit for that great accomplishment in his life. So. Yeah. I just don't know what's happening.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to share about that this
week? I do have one thing here. So
good.
Friday night, I come home from school and did a few things, piddle-paddled around here. And it was, you know, one of those rainy days. So I just finally put on my pajamas and wrapped up in a blanket. And I watched Singing in the Rain. Seems like a good night to watch that. So I'm in there, and it was about, I don't know, 8:30 or so. And the doorbell rings. And then Ron says, Joni, come in here. And so I walked in there. There stood two of my students. Here I am in my pajamas. Yeah,
of course.
And they had made a cake. And their first thought was, we need to take this to Miss Schenck. Now, let me just say, these are two of my best students, and one that I will probably take to state to compete in baking. This cake was truly horrible.
Horrible looking or horrible tasting?
Looking. No, it tasted fine.
Okay.
Looking.
Okay. Okay.
So they had been to the library and they found these cake pans, and went, oh, let's check out the, you know, one of them. So they got a rabbit and they bring this to me. Listen, I put the picture on my Facebook page. It is truly awful. I could not tell if it was a rabbit or a foot.
A foot cake. Oh no.
Patrick Starr. That was a possibility. It was all just, you know, had these crazy eyes. And I mean, it was hilarious. And that was their, I mean, they knew how awful it was. And so that was their first thought.
That's why they wanted to bring it to you.
Schenck. Yes. They'd also make cookies that they cut out into people shapes and decorated. Mm-hmm. And they decorated, one was me and one was Ron.
Oh boy.
I was melted.
Well,
I was melted. Yeah. It was that Billy Joel. It was that Billy Joel concert.
You were at Billy Joel. You were having a flash. Okay. Your nature was stirred.
It was my nature.
I got there first. Yeah.
My nature got all stirred up that night.
Ew, I don't like that. I don't like how that sounds. Okay. Carry on.
Anyway, I'm melted on here and Ron is like broken. And so they're like trying to put
this
it back.
This all sounds very real. I don't know. This sounds very accurate.
They're trying to put him back together in her hand. I mean, so you got, you know, the broken person cookie and hand sweat. And then he goes, where's my arm? And Macy Castile says, I ate it.
It didn't make it.
It did not make it.
It didn't make it, dude.
No, did not make it. So it was hilarious. We laughed. I videoed them of eating the cake. You know, I cut a piece and the cake was actually good, but I made them eat hilarious. It too. I said, I'm not eating this unless y'all do. So yeah, it was just fun.
That is fun.
Yeah, but no, Macy and Cheyenne are both, you know, two of my just best students and very talented. So that's why it was so funny that this thing was so truly awful.
Yes. Okay. So, well, yeah. You know, cooking and baking and decorating are different. They are different talents. Yes. So we'll just let us, you know, which makes me think of the funny phone call I got from your son, John Garrett, the other day. I'm sitting around on Saturday or whenever that was, Friday. I don't know when the heck he was here. Mm-hmm. When did he come to your house?
He came home Thursday night. He came home Thursday night.
Well, I get my phone rings and I look on it and it says John Garrett. And I'm like, okay, this could be anything. This could be anything. I never know what this is going to be. So I get on there and he's like, hey, is this, I don't know what he said, like Home Garden Channel or something. And I was like, why? Why, yes, it is.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know what he said, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why, yes, it is. So he's like, oh, I'd like to put in a request for, I've seen Caleb's Shank's room and I'd like to put in a request that my room, that you do my room. In other words, he came home and saw all the work that Joni and I did. And Joni was in there painting and doing all her stuff. And he went in there and was like, wait a minute. His eyes were open. He was like, this looks really good. So he was so sweet.
And he was ready to do his. And we both at the same time said, you need to clean it first.
Exactly. So he was saying, will you do mine? I said, yeah. I said, yours is on the list. I said, but here's what you need to do. Here's what you can do while you're home that would assist in this project is you need to clean it up. And he went, okay, yeah, true.
I'm sitting in his room. We broadcast from his room. And you told him to separate things into piles.
Because people don't know where to start.
Right.
It's overwhelming. And they're like, I don't know what to do.
So tell us the three piles.
Just if you're going through a room and you're dealing with, you can do it a section at a time or whatever. But basically whenever you're cleaning something out, you just kind of have three categories, right? You've got stuff you want to keep. Okay. You got stuff that is still good, but you don't want. So you're going to donate. And then you've got throw away. Those are your three categories.
Okay. So I'm sitting in this room and there are
a lot of piles.
There are a lot of piles. And there is a garbage bag of stuff to throw away.
Okay.
That, you know, he could have taken down to the trash, but instead it's sitting here in front of his chest of drawers.
His chest one
step
at a time.
Twice. I've said chest of drawers twice in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Chest of drawers.
But it's a step in the right direction. He's moving in the right direction. Because what the thing that most of us do is we start to get too into the details too quickly when we're cleaning. We're like, well, this is this type of thing. Let me put, don't worry about the types of things. I mean, sometimes as you get good at it, like I am, you could start to do that, but you want to just go keep. And then when you have your stuff that you're keeping, some of it is like, oh, I'm keeping it. It's like memory stuff, but I'm going to store it. Like I don't need it out, but I want to put it in a box because it's my memory, you know, storing it. And some of it's stuff you might take with you to school and some of it's stuff that's going to stay here, you know? So then there's levels of that. But if you can just get those three categories first, then you get rid of the trash, you donate the stuff you don't want or need anymore, and then you deal with what's left. And it's tried and true. So he's on the road. He's on the road to
getting there.
You know?
Yes. So. Yeah, John Garrett. Bless his heart. Yeah, he came home and his girlfriend Ashlyn came Saturday. She spent the night with us and they went to church Sunday. And she had us stop football on Sunday to watch some movie, Fred. What? I don't know.
What's that movie?
You don't want to watch it.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, Ashlyn. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, sorry, Ashlyn.
Sorry, it sucked.
And then she fell asleep.
Oh, and so,
we were all like, wait, we are stuck
watching this movie.
So you can watch this movie. And
listen, let me tell you another funny story. See, I know we're going to go a little long today. That's okay. Because we've gone short other days, but let me tell you another quick funny about speaking of football and your family and your other child, Caleb.
Oh gosh.
So Hudson, this is not anything. It's nothing you don't know, but Hudson FaceTimed Tim and I on Sunday, you know, late morning or whatever it was. And he was driving. He was going heading somewhere, and we're like, where are you headed? And he's like, well, I'm going to go skate. He's got his skate. He's back into his skateboarding. And apparently, Joni, he parks at the Publix, and then he goes grocery shopping. So he skateboards, and then he does a little shopping, which I'm like, Publix, you fancy. I'm like, what?
He's living large right there. Yeah.
He's like, well, not everything. And, you know, he's probably not getting a lot, let's be honest. But so apparently he like parks there, and then he just goes skating around Chattanooga, like on the street, like he's talking to people. He's yapping with people. Yeah. He's meeting. I don't know what's happening, but that makes me laugh. But he said, we were like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah. He's like, I've got to find stuff to do on my own, because when the weekend comes, Caleb and Tristan, it's all football all the time. Weekend long. Yes. So he's like, so I go and find things that to do on my own. Yeah. And Tim was like, do they talk football all the time? He's like, all the time they talk football. But then when it comes to the days of, he's like, come on, Caleb, let's go do it. He's like, oh, football.
Football. So let me say this.
So Hudson is a football. Hudson is a football widow. Anyway, carry on.
Caleb has always loved football. I mean, his entire
since
life.
Since he was little.
When he was two, he would come in. JB would have cartoons on, and he would come in and throw a fit until JB turned it to SportsCenter. His first two words that he ever put together was fumble recovery.
Oh, gosh.
Those were the first two. We were
recovery.
We were at a high school football game, and I'm sitting next to my preacher, and Caleb's standing there, and he goes, fumble we cover we. And Brother Will looked at me, and he said, did he just say fumble recovery? And I said, I think he
apparently
did.
So.
And he said, and he's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so Caleb.
Yeah, he comes by it honest. I just remember going over to your house, you know, when the kids were little. And I mean, he loved that Madden football, that game, that whatever they would play the football. I don't know how that works, but they would play.
He was number 60 in the world.
I bet.
In the world on that Madden thing.
That Madden football. Yeah, he put in the time.
He reminds me, Caleb, I have always said, so my granddaddy, his name was J.B. McCaleb. And I have always said, if I believed in reincarnation, I would swear Caleb is my granddaddy come back from the dead. They're just alike.
Wow.
I mean, he is just like him. And Caleb will know stats from way back when, you know, and I can remember my granddaddy, like at 82 years old, talking about stats, some basketball player stats from Murray State back in, you know.
From
like 1932 or something. And I'm like, how do you even remember? And Caleb is exactly, he can sit there and tell you stats and
that's so funny. He does love it. And Hudson wasn't mad about it. He was just like, I try to get him to, but nope. Yeah. So I go out and skate and meet homeless people. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, that works.
There you go.
That works.
Okay. So, are you ready?
I am ready.
For your recipe?
So it's been a, you know, kind of a sad week here. So let's go to some comfort food. Some October. We're getting into October and it's time for some coffee cake. So. This is a maple pecan coffee cake with a buttermilk glaze.
Okay.
So your cake is going to be a box of butter pecan cake mix.
Mm.
You just add water and oil, a little bit of flour, 3 eggs, some maple syrup, and I would get, you know, not your Aunt Jemima maple, so your real
maple syrup.
Real maple
it'll taste
syrup.
Different. It'll taste better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've got a coffee cake crumble that goes on it. That's a separate. I'll put that recipe up to you.
Okay.
And a cup of pecans or half a cup of pecans. And then your glaze is just cream cheese and unsalted butter and powdered sugar and some buttermilk. And you make that glaze. And that's it. You're just going to mix that cake up and bake it and put the crumbles on it.
Oh my gosh.
Do your glaze over it.
What are the crumbles? Tell me about the crumbles.
It is brown sugar and cinnamon. You're going to have some flour. There to crumb, you know, to make it stick, some butter. It's not a big crumbly, it's more like a streusel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So butter, brown sugar, you've already got the pecans there, and some flour, some salt.
And that's for the crumblies.
Yeah. That's for the crumblies.
Do you put the crumblies on,
and the
on
cinnamon.
Top of the...
I'm sorry, the cinnamon and nutmeg.
The glaze goes first and then the crumblies, or the crumblies and
the crumblies glaze? And then the glaze.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds really good. And that sounds, again, very easy. I mean, especially when you're starting with a cake mix, like that's
phenomenal. It's not a lot of work. No.
That is amazing. Oh, I love it. Oh, that sounds so good. If I were into cooking anymore right now, I'd probably make that. I can't.
That's it. Yeah.
I can't.
Okay. So here's my top three.
Top three.
My first one, I talked about the 50-gallon water drum is one of them. And I'll link that with Amazon, but it just, the peace of mind, I will say it is more expensive than when I first bought it.
I'm sure everything is. So
yeah. But again, the peace of mind for it is well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My second, I've already forgotten. I had it pulled up. Wow.
It's gone.
Really, it was an emergency. Oh, no. The Legacy Food Supply. Mm-hmm. They make foods, and because I would have all this emergency, you know, like I said, I was in all the emergency preparedness stuff after talking to our firemen, but I just got tired of having all of the cans and all of the things and having to, you know, go through the dates, look at, you know, switch it all out.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So this Legacy Foods, they have emergency preparedness things, and they're just meals. You're just going to come add some water to them and heat them up. They're dehydrated.
Yep.
It lasts for like, you know, 25 years.
Yeah. A lot of them will last 25 years, which is
right.
Great.
So you can put those there and
they're lightweight because it's dehydrated. So honestly, they're much lighter weight than all the cans and all the things. So yeah.
And then what's my last one here?
I don't know. Look into your brain.
Okay. I'm going to do a happy one since it's, you know, everything else is some pumpkin spice rum chata. Just saying, pumpkin spice rum chata.
I was thinking about that the other day and wondering if there was such a thing as that, because I got some pumpkin spice liqueur that wasn't going to tell you, but then I'm bringing down at Thanksgiving for you for a price.
Okay, thank you.
I'm bringing snacks. Since I'm going to be useless, I'm bringing a bunch of Trader Joe fall accoutrements. Okay. So anyway, but I wondered if there was a pumpkin spice rum chata.
There is. And
is there?
Yes, there is.
And how do we feel about that?
It's very good. Just saying it is
okay.
Very good.
Okay. Very good. Okay. So. Oh, pumpkin spice. I'm going to have to try that. I'm not huge into pumpkin. Like, I do like it, but I bet I need to probably try that.
Yeah,
I need to probably try that. All right. I can do that. Oh, my Lord. Did you hit a button?
What are you talking about? I just thought I'd take us out with a little bit of Billy Joel here.
Well, not too much. We're going to get in trouble. Shut it off.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that, can I?
No, no. We're fine. Everything's fine. If they come after us, let me be honest. We ain't got nothing. You can't. Turn it off.
Damn. Just tell us to take it off.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. We're going to get in so much trouble. La, 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 la.
All right. I got to stop. My nature's getting stirred up.
Her nature's stirred up. That's disgusting. I don't like it. That's really good. Top three. That's awesome.
Have a good week. You know, get some emergency supplies, and what else? If you can donate
a little bit, just donate, you know, a teeny little bit to one of these groups to help folks out and then get some pumpkin spice from Chata.
That's right.
And that's it. That's all you need to worry about.
That's it. Happy fall, y'all.
Have a great week, and we will talk to you all next week. Bye. See ya, cornbread.
Eat corn dip.
Almost forgot the ending.
coffee.
You got your coffee. I got my coffee too. Mm-hmm. Are we having coffee together?
We are. This qualifies.
Mm-hmm. Hot.
I'll pay you $10 never to make that sound again.
It was hot. It was hot. I burnt my mouth.
About before. Before the hot.
Oh,